This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Sorry I'm not in the studio at this moment, but, you know, life goes on here. I think today we need to, I would like to, talk about what's next on the agenda for our healthcare system. It's amazing how fast things are moving, and I think we are really on the way to repealing Obamacare. And I don't know if you saw the signing statements or the executive orders, right, Dave?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, the one that he started with, which is to tell every agency that if it works against the American people in any way, they shouldn't implement it. That means if it's a tax, if it raises any cost on the patient in terms of premiums or any other rules or regulation that is punitive to the patient, then it should not be implemented. And the first thing that would go away in this kind of system would be the mandate, which is awesome, which I always thought was the thing that if you couldn't do anything else legislatively, that would be the way to start this process of ending this thing. Because if you give people choice, then what they're going to do is they're going to pick what's best for their pocketbook and their family. And there's no way that anybody would want to spend $7,500 out of pocket on top of a couple of thousand in a premium for coverage that they don't need or want. And once you pull the pocketbook or the purse strings from this, it's going to fall apart on its own weight. So it was a brilliant move because it doesn't wait for Congress to do anything. It allows the market, technically, to start working and people to start having choice. It's a lot of other things he's done, which is great, in my opinion. But it's refreshing to see somebody actually follow their campaign promises. Are you impressed, Dave?
Without question. And I didn't realize, and I just got a little bit of it, that Obama had passed a note to Trump, I guess at the inauguration or something, and from what I understand, it was almost like begging him not to do away with Obamacare. You know, is he sick?
Well, it's like it's his signature thing, and every single Democrat, progressive Democrat, or just every Democrat, because they are the ones that voted for this thing, they're wedded to this. I don't understand why. Since it didn't accomplish anything of what they said that it would. Now, I think this is a duplicitous system, and I think that it did accomplish what they wanted overall, which is to break the private healthcare system and to usher in a single payer and socialized medicine. It went a long way towards doing that. So we damaged the infrastructure for independent doctors. They've left the playing field on large and have become employees of hospitals. So you get people who actually have the patient interest at heart, who are not about to play a game and have the government tell them what they can do to treat their patient. They need to go first because you can't control the system if you have outliers, if you have people who think for themselves. This is a system where it's one size fits all. It's go along, get along, and it's top-down control. So the first people you would have to get rid of would be a doctor who practices medicine using the Hippocratic Oath. They did a bang-up job of doing that. The second thing is to make sure that it's a corporatized system where the trough is the government and the taxpayer money. Every single thing that plugs into it has to get fed from this system. Again, the insurance companies get controlled because if you want to play the game, you have to come up with cafeteria plans of what they want and offer the services that the government, you know, says it wants. But it's a mindset, Dave. It's this mindset of I know what's best for you, that, you know, I've sat in a classroom or wrote a book or some sort of, you know, didactic system. Nobody's out there doing it, mind you. Nobody's out there in the front line. Nobody really understands what it takes to run an office, to see a patient, to get them better. They don't care. It's just they want to do it their way or no way. And if you don't like it, then they're going to punish you. And this is our first step towards telling them to shove it, which is awesome.
Let me ask, you and I don't think we've talked about it, even off mic, but what do you think of Price's HHS?
Well, you know, I think it's a good thing. Honestly, to have a doctor who's practiced medicine, who's had a practice, who's run a business, who runs one of the largest, or used to run one of the largest orthopedic practices in the city, in the state probably, run it efficiently, profitably, and have happy patients. I actually had knee surgery done maybe about 9 years ago at Resurgence. Had a great experience. So I don't have any problem with that.
No, wait a second. You can't have a knee replaced and have a great experience.
It wasn't a knee replacement. It was just arthroscopic surgery.
Oh, okay.
But it made a difference to me. I couldn't stand up in the OR at one point because it hurt me so. Such a problem. So I had an excellent experience. This guy knows from a doctor-patient, and he's always of the doctor-patient relationship. That's where he's coming from. It's not, I went up to Congress multiple times, and one of the things that I was told over and over again is that they don't care about doctors. They don't like doctors. They think that we are the problem. So anytime you try to really explain how this is hurting your practice and hurting your ability to take care of the patients, they double down. They literally do more of what you don't want them to do. That's what I was told, and I believe it's true. Now you have a doctor who's in a position to reverse what they've been implementing since Medicare. You know, I'm not saying he's going to stop Medicare. I don't believe it's going to happen. But you have to have a free market system. You cannot have corporatized medicine where the government is in bed with the insurance companies. They're siphoning money off of the patient in taxes and premiums. They're screwing over the doctor in terms of what their choices are in treating the patient, and it's all punitive. What kind of system is that? While they give you these hard luck stories, I listened to this congressional committee meetings, and it's just nauseating. They sit there and lie about how it's cheaper, how more people are covered, and how it's, everybody loves it, it's awesome. And then they give you a couple of stories of people who have pre-existing conditions who were probably helped. But it doesn't take into the account of the millions of people who lost the insurance they liked, who have insurance but can't afford to use it because it's too expensive, and literally are paying a tax. It's a double tax. You're paying your income tax. You're paying your property tax if you own a home. You're paying state and city taxes, and now you have to pay Obamacare tax and then not even get help. I mean, we've talked about this on the show. People are going to the emergency rooms. They're not going to see private doctors. They're still going to the ER because they know that they won't have to pay out of pocket, because of the emergency leave, the ERISA, not ERISA, but the EMTALA, where you have to take care of the patient. If you walk into an ER, you have to get care irregardless of your ability to pay. People still know that. So this didn't work. It basically displaced people who like the system, corralled taxpayer dollars, and God knows how much money they're using for other things, took $700 billion from Medicare. They talk about loving the Medicare folks, the seniors. Well, they don't, because they took $700 billion from running that system. And those guys are screwed. I talk to them every day. You can't afford to get your medication still. If you get admitted to a hospital, they don't put you in under the right designation. That bill is yours. If you have to be readmitted within 30 days with the same medical condition, it won't be paid for by Medicare. This is what they've done to the seniors. It is a complete shell game where they tell you, they talk about a small fraction that actually helped, and it screwed over a majority of the people. And they think this is winning, and they want to double down on it. It is not going to work. And they are crying foul, and it's just the most, it's just sickening to see them scream and stomp their feet and call Dr. Price and other people up their liars. I wouldn't sit there and take it. I actually couldn't be one of the people that go up there, because I would give it right back to these guys.
You'd be over there beating on them, huh?
No, I would do it with a verbal. But I would let them have it. Because they're all hypocrites. While they opted out of Obamacare, they tried to carve out their pages and their aides out of Obamacare. If it is so fabulous, why don't you have it? That's the first thing I would say. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I haven't watched all of the hearings, but the little bit that I've heard, I keep coming back, and you mentioned it a minute ago, if you're the damn expert, why aren't you sitting in the chair and me asking you questions instead of you asking me these stupid questions that you're asking? You don't know what you're talking about. Is that the feeling that you get?
Oh, absolutely. But what they're trying to do is push forth their meme, their fantasy, that this was great, that people like it, that you've gotten cheaper, better health care. None of it's true. None of it. And the fact that they want to, all they've done really is extend Medicaid, which sucks. I'm going to be frank.
Mm-hmm.
They have devastated Medicare. They've gotten rid of catastrophic plans, which people who are healthy actually liked. If you're healthy, why are you paying for things you don't need? Why is a man paying for pediatric dentistry or, some sort of female? That doesn't even make sense. But that's not what it's all about control. I said it before. I've written about it in the past. Obamacare was never about health care. It was always about control. And they almost got through with this. They almost beat us. But it didn't work. That's what's really awesome. It's like the last second the rug was pulled on everything. TPP, Obamacare, it's awesome. And TPP is no joke, Dave. Had that gone through, it would have meant the end of sovereignty for the United States because the treaty would supersede any law that Congress passed. What the hell kind of treaty is that? And it went through all parts of our society. So if you're a foreign company, you come to the United States, under that treaty, you could hire your own people, bring them in from your own country, and they would get first preference of the jobs in our country. What kind of crap is that? Number two, if you are on the medical side, they could decide what gets covered, how much people would have to pay for medication, what the formularies would be. It's transnational. It's international companies' interests superimposing their will on us. And I don't care what anybody says. If we're the big player in this mix and we're dealing with all sorts of developing countries and economies, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to try to suck us dry. Why they have an unlevel playing field. That's how negotiations technically work, right? You get the most you can for yourself and the least for the other person. We didn't negotiate anything. We just signed up to get like a hose attached to us and wealth and everything sucked out of our own tank. Doesn't make any sense.
I certainly respect the fact that Trump's come in, like you said, he's doing what he said he was going to do in his campaign, and I think it's got some heads swimming at the moment.
Well, it's a beautiful thing to watch, because I'm sick and tired of people getting in there and doing the opposite, or going along and getting along, or watering down what they're going to do because their friend across the aisle, they want to be collegial. Screw collegial, and ultimately, and we'll take a break after this one statement, this is not a group of people that will compromise. I don't know why people can't figure this out at this point. Chuck Schumer basically laid it out. We will not play ball with you. It's our way or no way. We will destroy you to get our way. That's what they said. But this is an interesting, this to me is the most interesting part of this whole exercise, is that people are being uncloaked. All of their inner workings, their what they really want is being exposed, not the rhetoric, but what they really want. And let's talk more about that when we come back from the break.
Okay.
You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use the state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, I was talking about how, I'm going to use a Star Trek reference, it's like there was a cloaking device, and that was, we love everybody, everybody's good, the United States is needs to let everybody into the country, and we need to take care of the least of ourselves, and if we don't, then you're racist, sexist, xenophobic, you name the obic, you know, whatever they were trying to pull on you. And but underneath all of that, it's now being just completely exposed. Let's talk about black folks for a second, because that was really something else. When there was this Twitter war between John Lewis and President Trump about his history, you know, his record, and the fact that he wouldn't go to the inauguration. Listen, I'm going to make a statement. Come at me if you want. I don't care. We have to think about who stands to gain in this battle of, you know, black versus white, the race war that they've been trying to perpetuate and actually ignite for 8 years. Let's think about this for a second. I'm sitting in this booth. My mom had to go through the back door. She couldn't try on clothes. She lived in South, in Asheville, North Carolina. It did not define her. She did whatever she wanted to do. And outside of that paradigm, she taught me, as my dad did, that it's not about your color. It's about what you can do, your content of character, how hard you work. Yes, I was told you have to work harder if you're black. Yeah, but so? I just did it. There's no excuses with it. And Alvia King said a really interesting thing. Martin Luther King didn't want handouts for black people. He wanted a chance. We got a chance. We've had a chance. I'd rather live here than in any other country in this world because I have the opportunity to do whatever I want as long as I work hard and I have some ingenuity and some sense. And quite frankly, you don't even have to have that in this country. Sometimes you have to get, you know, lucky, but you don't have to be stuck in the same position. If these civil rights icons will not admit that we've made a significant, I mean, you've had two terms of a black president. You're sitting in Congress after being assaulted, you know, in the 60s. Don't tell me it's the same as it was in the 60s and that we're going back. It's just ridiculous. But it's a way to make yourself relevant. Because if Trump does exactly what he says he's going to do, which I pray, and it looks like he's going to do it, start bringing enterprise zones, start bringing business to the inner city, start educating people not to be slaves, but to actually have critical thinking skills, a sense of self, a sense of what their potential is. If we can ignite that throughout the country, then I think all of the negativity will actually fade. Why be a gang member if you can actually look forward to having a job and a profession and, you know, living better now than you in the future than you do now, as opposed to getting shot? I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, what, it's like 50 people shot in Chicago on one day? It's not, I mean, for him to say it, which was the truth, and for them to say, oh, it's so negative and dark, he's just so negative. It's the truth. What have you been doing for years now? Just letting it happen. Black on black crime. No one, you know, it's a thing. I've been a victim of it. My dad has been a victim of it. My mom has been a victim of it. It happens. Let's be honest and let's take responsibility for our choices. He made a really interesting statement, and I've heard it again. These liberal cities, the bastions that are run by majority black mayors, congressmen, whatever, they're not better. Why aren't they? This should be a model, and it's not. So there's something that you're doing that's not helping the situation, but you're getting rich in the bargain. You are traitors to your people. And by aligning yourself with this progressive mindset of the bureaucrats, the elite, the people who are educated, the people who are in power, know more than everybody else. They're the unwashed masses who are too stupid to take care of themselves. While you all believe that, because you're all in this cohort, but you do your best to keep dividing us by hot button, you know, just keep pushing a button. It's either with race or it's either your sexual orientation. I mean, they're creating things now at this point, whether you're an immigrant or not. But the reality is, people who were here legally, who came through the immigration process legally, voted for Trump because they're sick of people jumping the line and them being painted as criminals. They don't like it. Black people, especially people who are, I would think, business owners and people who are more, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, free market, libertarian mindset, did not vote for Clinton. The white working class, I mean, I hate to even categorize people as an entity. We're all Americans. We were sick and tired of people telling us we're bad, that we're stupid, that we're racist, and that everything's awesome. It's not. If a third of the country is not working, a third, what the hell? Are you going to tell me that the economy's awesome? And they stop counting the people who stop looking for work. The unemployment among black people, especially youth, is over 50%. And just ignoring it and saying that we need to double down on this is wrong. And people finally stood up. Can you only imagine, Dave, how many votes he actually won to beat Hillary Clinton? I mean, it must have been a huge landslide if you talk about all of the fraud that went on. And he's right. People who weren't citizens voted in our election. Well, how would they not? Because New York doesn't ask for any kind of ID. President Obama got on and said, I've heard the statement. As long as you're here, you can vote. You're a citizen, you can vote. So he encouraged these guys to come out. And if you take away New York and California, which is the huge sanctuary cities, states, he would have won the popular vote. The man is right. But there's a whole demonization campaign to make him, you know, somehow ineligible or taint him in some way. He played the game and he won, and they can't handle it. Get over it. You lost.
I heard the best. I love this, and it totally means nothing. but it was on Fox, on their Outnumbered show yesterday as I was having lunch, and one of the people said, well, what's Hillary going to do? and now, and one of the ladies came back and said, "Stick a fork in it."
Oh no, no! Don't stick a fork in it, because she will be back. Trust and believe. They're talking about her running for mayor of New York. This is not a normal. This is what I mean, Dave.
Yeah.
You cannot have a logical mindset about this. You know, the election's over. You fall in line. We're all Americans. It happened 8 years ago. It happened, you know, 4 years ago. It needs to happen now. But these guys don't live in the same reality. I really honestly believe that. They think that, they honestly do think he's Hitler, that this is this election was fraudulent, the Russians hacked it, she really won, and they're going to continue this for the next 4 years. And she's encouraging it, because she's also Twittering to them, oh, thank you for your support, and all sorts of nonsense. This is, we are under attack by people who don't play fair, never did play fair, will refuse to play fair, and refuse to accept reality. And they're spending a lot of money doing it. Those groups that came out against the inauguration, people entering, those are all Soros-funded. 50 groups of the Women's March are Soros-funded. This is, this, what's his name, David Brock is setting up some sort of pack to impeach Trump. This is what they're doing. They are not stopping, and it's completely, it's not, none of it's true, but they're going to they manufacture news.
You know, I think, my opinion is that Trump's doing a very good job of, even though he fights back on some issues or, you know, hits back, but he's also laying the groundwork, in my opinion, to beat this, like meeting with the union.
Mm-hmm.
They loved him. They absolutely loved him. And, you know, don't call us Democrats because we're a union. We're not.
Well, and, you notice the union said he had in there, though. The unions, the SEIU, I think the AFL-CIO, isn't that Trumka?
Yeah.
They're socialists.
UAW.
I don't know if they're socialists or not, but I know the SEIU is run by socialists. And he didn't have them in there. I noticed that. So these are the smaller unions. These are the typical, I guess, the historical unions who have not been overrun by socialized or, you know, socialists and communists. These are what's going, I mean, people really need to go to YouTube and look up Trevor Loudon and the enemies within. You should get the video, get the DVD, because you would understand what I'm talking about. This is, the unions were taken over. Let's go back in history based on the video that I saw. Unions used to be run by pro-American leaders. So their mindset was, our union jobs need to be taken by American citizens. We are against immigration. We don't want this. And it was, that was the baseline. Well, this changed under the, I guess, it was after Hoffa. So after he left, they were taken over by another leader who basically was a globalist, just like the Chamber of Commerce. It's all about transnational corporations and transnational power. And the best way for a transnational corporate business to work is to get the cheapest labor possible. Well, how do you do that? You have immigration, crazy immigration, unchecked immigration, have people come in and use them. Don't pay them enough. The construction industry is notorious for this. You have them come in, they're not unionized, and you pay them little, and you put pressure on the wage system, and it drops. And that's what happened, or has been happening, over the past, 20 years? So you hear that white wages are stagnant. You hear all these things. Well, it's because of the choices made. And in order to, for the unions figure, we're going to get these people to come in. Eventually, they'll become union members, and we'll get more money. So it's all about what they wanted, not what's best for the country, but what's best for them. And another thing I noticed, too, which is awesome, he did not have Chamber of Commerce in that meeting either. These are things that people need to look at, because it's a changing of the guard completely. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed, and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, I really recommend that people start doing their own research. I've said it before. I mean, I spend a lot of time reading other things besides healthcare because it's all connected. This is a bigger picture than we're led to believe. We're all just in these little silos where it's all about making us feel bad, making us want to get along, go along. In the break, we're talking about the people who supported Trump versus who supported Hillary. And there's like a different mindset between the two groups of people. And we have people now who are in a position, you know, they lost, and they're lashing out. And they're not just doing it verbally, they're doing it physically. Well, that's what the Nazis did. And it's projection. So when people start calling him Nazi and him fascist and all totalitarian, but what they're doing is exactly what they say that he's doing. But they're saying it in a louder, more obnoxious voice. And they have the media platform. These are all people who believe the same thing. We need to really pay attention to that, too. Because when WikiLeaks came out, it came out that 99%, if not 100% of the media, the mainstream media, supported Clinton monetarily, that they colluded, that they gave her questions, that they submitted their articles to them for approval. What the hell? Is this China? Is this something that you have to go to the chairman or chairwoman and ask for permission to write something? They are tainted. They are complete fake news. And just like everything else in this system, it's run from a centralized point. It does not tolerate competition. It does not tolerate dissension. It does not tolerate individuality. And they try their damnedest to make us feel as if we're the problem, as if we're causing it. They are the problem. And as soon as we decide to stop playing the game, and you can do it any way you like, my method of fighting it is to be on this radio show, to have an independent medical practice, to educate my patients about staying healthy and getting off of medication as much as possible by informing them of the risks and benefits of everything that they put into their body, whether that's a vaccine, whether that's a surgery, whether that's a medication, because you need to have informed consent. That does not exist in this system. If they had their way, they would start vaccinating your child before the child is born, after the child is born, until you're 90. I mean, they're giving vaccines, thousands of vaccines, really. Okay, hundreds of vaccines. Compared to what we used to get, we got a smallpox vaccine when I was a kid. That's it. Or the varicella, smallpox, a little thing on your arm. I don't even know if they give that anymore. And that was it. I got the mumps, I got the measles, I got the chickenpox. I'm not getting the chickenpox vaccine. It's ridiculous. And I have to say, anecdotally, that the people who've come into my office with shingles are in their 20s and 30s now. They're not seniors, but they've all gotten the vaccine growing up. And then I've had seniors who've gotten this vaccine booster thing, and they come out with shingles. So I'm not a fan of it. And we people, read. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing inherently wrong with a vaccine, technically. It's not the vaccine. It's what they put in the vaccine is the problem.
I mean, there are some doctors, though, that, and where do they come off that if it's been approved, then you ought to...
Yeah, well, because they're not thinkers. And again, I've said it before, if you're not happy with your doctor, if they come in and they don't even look at you and they type on a computer and they're out the door, well, it's on you if you want to stay with a doctor like that. You're perpetuating that system. If you withdraw your consent, if they see their census drop from 50 patients to 20, they'll start thinking about, oh, you know, why is that the case? We have to change. I left it in my office, unfortunately, but I got this fax I came across for a medical assistant course. You know, it teaches you to be a medical assistant. It's all online. It's 4 weeks. It's accredited. Okay, I'm sorry. But what the hell are you doing on a computer? You're going to be the front line of healthcare, but that's the Obamacare. They actually pay money. There's money set aside to train medical assistants because they knew that they were going to be the front line of care. Who in their right mind? I don't care if you're a medical assistant. I don't care. But you cannot tell me that not even going into a classroom, no hands-on, you're just doing it on your computer, that you're going to be the same quality as somebody who went to a brick-and-mortar school, you know, diagnosed or saw patients diagnosed, took blood, you know, did stuff, not just on a computer. This is the extent of the healthcare system. This is what they're trying to tell you. It's just as good. Now, I've changed my mind a bit about telemedicine because I was kind of iffy about it, but there are companies out there that are doing it the right way, where you actually do examine the patient. You know, it's not in the actual room with them, but the exam is being performed while you're there looking at it. So it's not just writing a prescription. It's not never seeing the patient's face. That's not telemedicine. But there's ways now, especially for rural areas, for the people who can't get in to see people. This is a godsend for them. If you're having a stroke, if you're having a heart attack, if you're having any kind of thing that you need an expert to give you the direction of, this is the protocol that I would use. That's an excellent thing. Instead of letting someone suffer or drive in 100 miles and by then it's too late. So there's good things and bad things about the system. But ultimately what Obamacare did is dumb us down, lower the standard of care, make it more expensive on top of it, and ruin choice. They would like it to be that you have no choice. You just have what they give you, and good luck. But that money's going somewhere, right? But that money's going for infrastructure, to set up the surveillance state, to make sure that everything that's captured on that EMR, electronic medical record system, is synced with the government so they know exactly everything about you. They want to know what you think and what you do before you do it. That's really what this is about. So it's a grid. They know, they follow you on cameras, especially if you're in the city. There's microphones on the cameras. Every keystroke you make on your computer, potentially, it's being followed. Your email is being searched. And the last few laws, that, or executive orders, or I think there were executive orders that got passed on the way out, was to extend the power of NSA. So now CIA has to talk to NSA. No, I'm sorry. NSA has to tell CIA everything that they know about an individual, not only a foreign individual talking to someone outside the country, but every single person in the country. So they're just sifting through your information and looking for things that are important. And this would blow your mind, too. I read this. If you take your computer to Best Buy or wherever to get it repaired, well, they can actually take your information and give it to the FBI. I mean, they can sift through it and then call in the authorities. There's no warrant. There's no... What happened to your Fourth Amendment rights? It's gone. So people need to wake up.
We've done a number of shows now on the fact that the coffee pot that you buy is spying on you. Your television that's in your bedroom
smart.
Is probably spying on
you. Yeah, the smart things. Don't forget that Alexa and those things that you talk to. Are you insane? They have to listen to you in order to take the command. Well, that's on a web. It's on a cloud-based server, right? Who else is listening to what else is going on in your house? Come on, man. Why do you really need that? Can you not get up off the couch and turn off your light? This is just insanity. And then the virtual reality, growth of the virtual reality machine is also not a great thing. It damages parts of the brain. And your children should not be using it because it messes with the formation of synapses and connections. Well, if you don't form them when you're a kid, you may never form them. There's so many things that are standard that are actually damaging. Shouldn't have your child on a cell phone. The radiation is crazy. You shouldn't let them, minimum, play with iPads and those sorts of things because they can't make connections. They can't even, if you're reading a book, they can't even see the picture of what they're reading. They're not capable of doing it. Then it becomes more stimulation, more bells and whistles, more flashes this, and they can't even pay attention for 1 minute now. But that's perfect for a system that gives you a soundbite of a lie. That's all you hear over and over again. You're like, you just short circuit to, that's the truth. I don't need to read anything else. They've already told me what I need to think. This is sick. We need to just unplug for a bit. Not that you can't use it, but use it as a tool as opposed to just entertainment, because that's what they want you to do.
Can't find game one on my phone. Don't believe in it.
You also have a life. So you're not living in level of something. I mean, again, it's entertainment, so it's not crazy, but people just take it too far. I mean, how do you get cyberbullied? I don't even understand how that works. Just don't go on the computer. Back in the day, they'd meet you after school and get your butt kicked, right? Now they just text you. I don't understand that.
Cut them off.
You really? Change your email. But it's just this. They've got us so distracted with what they tell us is important. And that's from the corporate system, too. Their job is to sell you something, to make you dependent on their product, to make you think that you can't live without it, that you need it. I think my thing this year is going to be, I'm going to really categorize things into what I want and what I need. And I'm sure there's things that I'm doing or buying or whatever that I don't need. And I'm just going to just take a step back. Maybe one thing out there that you're doing that you really don't need to do or buy. Just kind of simplify so you don't have so much clutter. And maybe that would help people actually become more in the present, more focused. We're so distracted, we don't even know what's in front of us. I mean, you see people at a communal dinner, everybody's on their cell phone, and they're not even talking to each other. I mean, I wouldn't understand that either. Why do you even go out with people if you're not even interacting with them? But this is our chance. There's a lot of things that are happening in our country, in the world. We need to be present to be a part of it. And we need to stop being told what we need to, what's important. We need to figure out what's important for ourselves. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you probably notice that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Getting back to the medical side of it, you know, you asked me at the beginning of the show whether I thought Dr. Price was a good choice. And from a doctor standpoint, absolutely. But what makes him really, will make him powerful is that he's a legislator. So he knows how to gut a regulation. That's what they've done. Obamacare was the infrastructure. And then the HHS secretary under this law has free rein to implement rules and regulations. And that's where all these other things came from. So covering contraception free. That was Kathleen Sebelius that decided to do that. Expanding what the basic coverage should be. And, you know, it was, and making people buy things they don't need. That's her. So if he can actually get in there and start line item, getting rid of these rules, regulations, going back to the real tenant, I mean, again, I said everybody's going to be uncloaked, and they are. Trump made it very clear at the beginning, I want to work with both sides. I'm willing to make a deal. I want to compromise. And he said at the beginning, which I don't agree with, but he said it, he would keep the two things that were the most popular, up to age 26 and no pre-existing condition. They'd be covered. Well, you would think that as a Democrat, those are the two things that you are passionate about, then you should be able to come to the table and negotiate. They don't want to. And ultimately, what you have to figure out is you have to do it without them. Forget about reaching across the lines, because their whole objective is to sabotage it. They told you. They said it. And they're proceeding to try to do it. You know, holding up Price's nomination or vote is slow walking. It's going to happen anyway, but they're doing everything they can to drag their feet, to make it as painful as possible, to disrupt it. He actually did a really good thing when he made the executive order to don't implement anything. Because they're trying to slow walk it while everything gets implemented. You saw that he filled positions that normally don't get filled before he left. Right? So they tried to stack the deck with people who were going to be obstructionists and slow walk and plant people in a system that are against it. I've never heard of stuff like that. But this is a mindset. It's an ideology. This is not just politics for them. This is ideology. And they think the country needs to be socialist, communist, totalitarian, you name it. Those three things actually run together. And we're seeing a melding, and that great article about how the left is aligning itself with Sharia, with Muslim ideology. It's become a trifecta. So you've got socialists, you've got communists, and you've got Muslim, especially the Sharia ideology, joining together. And they're working together to change the system. And they're doing it by demonizing people who have a question mark about it, by demonizing Christianity, let's be honest, by secularizing the government. I mean, this is really a system built on Judeo-Christian value. It is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what it does, what the country does say is, if you have an alternate religion, you're welcome. But it doesn't mean you take over our baseline.
Let me ask, as a little girl, do you remember your mother holding your hand, and I know you grew up in New York, holding your hand, and if I were just betting, she would take you downtown, and you'd look at the windows, and they were all decorated for Christmas, and the spirit and everything, and I bet you can feel your mother holding your hand right now. The reason I bring this up is that, as you know, we were in Paris over the holidays, over Christmas, and if we had put a bet on the table, I would have said, Paris, is every window and every store is going to be decorated for Christmas, and it's going to be absolutely gorgeous, and yet, you know, and that's with, obviously without being there. We get there, and there are no decorations. So I'm talking to some people, and they say because of the Muslim influence, it would insult them.
Right.
Hello?
They did in Germany, too. They won't have Christmas pageants or decorate the, yeah.
The only thing they had was by the tons was Christmas markets out in, I don't want to say out in the country, but in small towns and stuff. But for Paris not to, there was not a store one decorated. And I just, am I wrong in thinking I misled myself? I thought that it'd be beautiful.
Well, I mean, I think France became more secular years ago. You know, it's a Catholic country. That's irrelevant now. It's really no religion. And that opens the door for things like this to happen. And I don't have a problem. You can have Buddhist, Muslim, I don't care. But nobody should supersede anybody else. This is not the same thing. This is if you go to your own church.
Schools, the exact same thing?
Yeah. But it's not live and let live at this point. It's if your way is insulting somebody else, you need to stop. Don't say anything because you're insulting somebody. They've even done it, I think, in Sweden, where they've made churches, taken the cross down in churches. Like the immigrants are coming into the church because it's a place that they get food, et cetera. It's a refugee center. Well, they took the cross down because it would offend them. Are you nuts? So those types of things are what set people off, and it makes people feel emboldened to go to the next level. So it's just hypocritical. As I was talking to you in the break, this Women's March was one of the founders of it, is a woman who's pro-Sharia law. Well, Sharia law, people, please read. It's women are subservient. They are second class. They are chattel. They are sex slaves. And if you're not a Muslim, you're definitely a sex slave. And it doesn't matter how old you are. 5 years old, 9 years old, you're free game. And you see this in Europe. It's been going on. Can't go to a pool without being assaulted. Women and, you know, groups are being assaulted. They don't put this on TV, but you need to go and look at it online because it's happening every day. Sweden, Germany. I haven't heard much in England, but France. This is a problem, and it's a culture clash. This is part of their culture. They think it's fair game. It's part of it. That's not our mindset. But to have the government say, well, you need to just wear a burqa, you know. You know, you should wear a hijab. You should, you know, meld into their culture because you're offending them. But they're guests in your country, but your country doesn't exist. That will not fly here. And I think that's really what was subtly going on with, you know, the Hollywood set and the way the government was working was to move into the same direction. And if I move to another country, I moved there because I want to be there. I like their culture. I want to speak their language. I want to adopt their mores.
Change there.
No.
You're moving there because you want to.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem with, you know, if you have certain, you know, religious, I don't care, I don't, things that you do from a religious standpoint, then do them. But they should not, everybody else shouldn't have to stop what they're doing to make you feel better. I mean, it doesn't even make sense to me. So, at this point, we really are at a crossroads. Because we're fighting against all those forces that wanted that, that have put laws into place that weakened our sovereignty, that made our freedom of speech a problem. It's not like you couldn't disagree with somebody. You just couldn't say it. I mean, the FCC is a problem with that net neutrality nonsense. But now they have this new guy coming in, was it Pai, who's going to reverse all that, thank God. So everybody can speak their mind instead of being just one person just having all of the platform and everybody else being demonized. And if they had their way, they would jail people. They talked about jailing people if they didn't believe in global warming. What kind of people are these? I mean, first it's global warming, then it's global cooling, then it's climate change. But my personal opinion is that if it's implemented the way they want, and CO2 is the thing that's the root cause, then people will be the problem at some point. All right, now it's cow farts, right? But down the road, it's going to be population, because every time we exhale CO2. So there's too many of us. So who are they going to cull to get the number down?
Do they start in China?
No. But, I mean, ultimately, think about the bigger picture. Who stands to gain? Why don't you plant some more trees? Anybody hear about photosynthesis? You wouldn't have CO2 overload if you plant more trees. Ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, what's even more ridiculous, and this is true with Obamacare, the medical situation, going outside the box, whatever. Immigration, we talked about this yesterday in immigration. The biggest problem that I see is that we don't want to educate. We don't want kids to know the truth. We don't want them to know about World War II. You know, I would venture to say, you know, when they were bringing up, or whoever was bringing up, that Trump's Hitler.
They don't even understand it.
They wouldn't, yeah.
They don't understand fascists. They keep calling people fascists, but the public-private partnership is an example of fascism. It's when the corporations and the government meld, when they're doing the biddings of the corporations. Well, the Democratic candidate was the poster child for fascism. Give me a break. Don't call out things if you don't understand them. Go and do your research. On that note,
people are too lazy.
Well, that's on them, but I'm not. And as far as the people who are now get it, and their eyes are open and their minds are open, now it's time to take your power back. And if we all stand up and say, you don't matter, we don't care what you think, shut up, or talk about it amongst yourselves, but stop trying to attack us, then it would stop. These are a bunch of cowards, honestly. But thank goodness we have somebody now, you know, who's, I think, is going to do well for us as a country. Not as black, white, green, and hyphenated, but as Americans. We all want the same thing. I just want to be left alone. I want to pursue my own destiny. And on that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call. Have a great week.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for